You're listening to the Anti-Marketing Podcast. Today I have Val with me co-hosting.
Hello.
And we are talking to Joey from Lolly's.
What's up, everybody?
So Joey, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and what you've started in this revolution of ice cream for those that don't know and haven't tried?
Well, thanks for calling it a revolution.
That's awesome. I feel like that's right.
It's accurate. It is right, though. Yeah.
We'll take that.
People seek it out.
So what I do at my core is I bring joy to people. And the cool thing about that is that a product that we found inherently brings joy is ice cream. Me and my wife co-own Lolly's Creamery in Virginia Beach. We've been at it now for over 3 years. It has been a wild ride, and I love what we do, love the people we get to serve.
How and why did it start?
Man, let's start with the why. The why it started is because I'm a dreamer. I think I'm a late blooming entrepreneur that didn't really know that avenue was possible. Or realistic, and was always kind of afraid of the risk involved. But after hundreds and hundreds of terrible ideas and exhausting conversations, my wife mostly being exhausted, me being really excited about the next really bad idea, we were here for 10 years in Virginia Beach, and there wasn't like the local ice cream spot that my wife and I had grown to know and love in college. Mm-hmm. So what you guys will hear throughout this story, I'm sure, is undertones of Jacqueline is my beloved wife, who's also like my secret weapon because she's like the wisdom to my impulse.
That's a very good way to put that.
For real. So when Jacqueline said, I think we should just do the ice cream thing, I was like, whoa! I felt like a puppy. Like, I don't know often that I feel like a puppy wagging my tail, but I was like, if my wife, who I respect and like respect her wisdom and her business savvy, if she's like, go for it, then it's time to go. So that was kind of the why. Yeah.
That's awesome. So then tell me how. Like, I know some of the story, but even in taking your pictures for the podcast, you told me a bunch of stuff I had never heard.
Mm.
So for those that don't know, it went from a bike cart to a little shop in a strip mall.
I don't even know that you can call it that, a strip mall.
No, business.
Park?
Yeah.
Sketchy, weird place. Yeah, the how is actually what's kind of fun and inspiring is it was just a journey of failing forward time and time and time again. Because when you've never like gone down that road before, you don't know what to expect, but you're just like determined to put out cool stuff into the world, then you just kind of go for it and you look to bring people with you along the way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we started out of a catering kitchen. I don't know if this is copyright or not, but I'll give Cold Stone credit. We call what we did early on Cold Stoning It, which was taking a really quality ice cream and like putting really good, fun stuff into it. Mm-hmm. And then seeing like how the customers responded. So mm-hmm. Yeah, early on we had a bike where we would go to farmers markets. We would go to events. I actually had a home delivery route. Like,
I was on the home delivery route.
You could order from Facebook by just mm-hmm. commenting, like, I want this, this, and this. And we would have a couple days that we would deliver. I was a youth pastor at the time, so I was like, hey, you can drive. Like, I'll pay you to take people ice cream. Yeah, I mean, we did that for like 6 months, and all the while, right, you're meeting people and networking and trying new things. And I met this coffee roasting company that had space in their roasting facility to share with us, which was a next step for us, was like from a shared catering kitchen to a space we could make our own and a space that we could actually start like making our ice cream from start to finish. So instead of like cold stoning it, now we're lollies-ing it. And we get to make it more of what we want to become, which was super cool.
That is really cool.
It is really cool. Talk to me. So one of my favorite parts of your story is how you got to the oceanfront, which I learned recently.
Yeah. So in this, we're still grinding. We're still doing events. I think we were still home delivering a little bit at this point. But now we're in a facility that we're going to be making our own ice cream. This is off of Euclid Road. If you know Virginia Beach, it's like in the Witch Duck industrial area. It's not at all a place that you would think to open your doors for an ice cream shop. But, I feel forward. So my personality is like, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not just try and see? And so when I heard that our facility was zoned for retail, like we could actually sell ice cream from there, it was like, well, cool. Like instead of driving to the people, let's open it up a few days a week and let's see if anybody comes. And it's still buried there now. If you go, like Apple Maps will take you there or whatever. But it's way off the beaten path. And we had cultivated like a really cool following and we were making a really good product. And so when we said we were opening, like people came and they came enough for us to support it, but it wasn't really enough for us to scale or go anywhere. So what was wild is, the story of how we got to the oceanfront from there. So Jacqueline and I, again, here's where, my secret weapon is in the holster the whole time, or whatever you want to call it. And we had gone out to date night. We were out in the Vibe District. I think we went to Esoteric. Shout out to Esoteric. Best drinks and cocktails around, legit food too. And after dinner, I don't know, we just started driving around. We knew that we wanted Virginia Beach to be like where our business would take its roots and grow and where we would be known that like Lolly's was from Virginia Beach. Like one of our slogans is a Virginia Beach original. So as we're driving around, we drive by this building and Jacqueline was like, Joey, oh my gosh, that would be such a cool spot to open an ice cream shop. And I was like, yeah, I would, but no. Like, it doesn't say for rent. Like, it looks kind of weird and run down. Who knows who we would even talk to. So, like, yeah, I agree with you, but what does that mean? So fast forward a couple weeks, I think, and I was at... I was making ice cream and our landlord walked in and after a few minutes of talking, because we were in such a random location, I was like, hey man, do you have any other spots that like are better than this for like foot traffic and not as weird at nighttime? And he was like, I got one little spot, man. Here's the address. If you want to drive by it, like, let me know what you think. And as I'm like putting it into Apple Maps on the way there, I'm like, wait a minute, no, no. And it was like, this was the goosebumps legit, like, stop. Yeah. The place that Jacqueline spotted and knew, like, this is where we can start, like, really start our dream of having a beloved ice cream shop. This is what could happen. And when he was like, I mean, do you want to rent it? I'm like, yeah, where do I sign? Like, I don't know, this is crazy and the rent's a lot higher, but you know, what Jacqueline and I knew as we processed that decision, and it was a big leap of faith. Like it was, it was gonna blow up our expenses by like at least 3 or 4-fold every month. But we knew, like, hey, 5 years down the road, if we don't do this, there's going to be a lot of regret there. Mm-hmm. And so let's just go for it and see. So that's kind of how our little spot in the Vibe District came to be, which is really wild.
Such a crazy story.
I know.
Isn't that nuts?
That is nuts. That is nuts.
What was the hardest part of all that? Like, when you say, like, once you sign, like, the dotted line.
Yeah.
You said it was like run down. I don't remember. So I'm down there all the time. I don't remember what it was before.
That's so
it was
funny.
Lally's.
It was, and that's the funny part. Like, so that's now driving through there, which is hilarious because we both grew up here. I mean, you know, like we're from here, and it's Lally's. Mm-hmm. Like that's it's Lally's now. But like it's I remember when it was just the little lot. It looked maybe like it had been a used car dealership or something.
I think initially,
at some point.
Or maybe a couple times.
Yeah, there was lights.
I have no idea what was there. Like, I don't have. I have a very visual memory.
Yeah.
No clue.
Yeah.
And now that it's you guys, you painted it the fun colors.
Yep.
And you've got your fun light poles out front.
Yeah.
Like, there's no. That is the memory of what is there.
Yeah, and so for me, I think Lally's was always a brand that I was wanting to build and to, like, make a difference and to, like, meet a felt need in a community to, like, I don't know, give something of value that was going to stay around for a while. But for Jacqueline, it was always the aesthetic of this, like, adorable ice cream shop that was missing. And so that our location on 17th Street could access for her, like, what would really be kind of a new phase for our company, it was really cool. I mean, up until that point, I'll be honest, like, it was a complete and utter grind. Like, it was a grind, it was networking, it was exhausting. And honestly, it was somewhat of a burden. Like, because I just don't think we would have been able, I don't think that we would have been able to make it as a business of doing what we did for another 2 or 3 more years. Mm-hmm. Because it was so much of a grind and, like, infringing on our routines. Where we were hoping that a business, we knew, of course, starting your business, you know that there's going to be a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But, like, there's always cost that comes with that. And I think it would have gotten to the point where the cost would have been too much to continue. But because the location and the universe and God brought us to this awesome spot, it just opened up a new gateway for us that would attract more people, more revenue, mm-hmm. more sustainability, and allow us to kind of grow into the brand that I knew that we wanted, but, like, the location that Jacqueline knew that we needed and that was missing. And it was super cool to see the intersection of that. So one of the things that we had to do then was money.
Yeah, right. Like, 'cause to go from, and kind of like we were talking about before the podcast started, like,
yeah.
Adding any kind of monthly revenue into anything is daunting.
Exactly. And this thing was built on, our, like, sweat equity. It was built on the finances we could bring to the table. And my parents were super generous to help us get off the ground in buying. The largest expense we bought was the ice cream machine early on, which for non-ice cream people, like, you can get a home maker from Amazon for, like, $60. And then, you know, you can do, like, a little more than that for, like, $400 or $500. And then, but if you want to do scale at all, you're buying a car and, like, a legit car, not a cheap used car. So, so we had exhausted our funds and we had a little bit in the bank, but not enough to outfit the facility. So then it was like, all right, well, we got a following, we got a fan base. Let's do a Kickstarter. I haven't seen a ton of people locally, like, do that, but this whole while, it was about the community making something happen and following, like, what the people wanted, mm-hmm. from flavors to locations to now, like, okay, here's the dream, here's the shop. What's the minimum viable product that we need? Let's see what other people have done around the country and let's go for it. And so we launched a Kickstarter campaign for our shop. And by golly, if our people didn't come through, man, we hit our goal. And what's wild about Kickstarter is all or nothing. Mm-hmm. So you make a goal and you got to hit that goal if you want any of it, which was really cool for me as, you know, kind of the captain of the team was like, all right, let's do my research. Let's really get lean and wise and really, really think about what we need to get this thing off the ground. Let's add value to people and let's just freaking do it. And when we hit that goal, I mean, when we saw, right, that it was looking like after the first week, we might actually hit this thing in a month. And then we hit it on week three. It was like, whoa, this is, the people like really want this and they want to get behind us. This is awesome, right? I mean, talk about like a humbling experience of hundreds of people pledging to like want to make a dream a reality. Mm-hmm. What a really cool freaking thing. So that's what got us to open our doors. And there's always red tape and there's always walls to bust through. But without people, like, it wouldn't have been possible. So.
Do you think you're successful? And what is your version of success if you are or aren't?
Which I think is cool because I really liked a second ago how you were talking about it was such a grind. You know, it was a grind for a long time and you weren't sure in 2 or 3 more years had you not taken that leap that you would have been. But from the outside, as someone who religiously went to the Euclid
right
Road
on.
Store.
Thank you. You kept us alive.
Like, I remember being like, this is all, like, they're doing so great. Like, they're killing it. It's good. You know, like, and you just don't see that from the outside looking. Even as a business owner myself, you know, who knows what it's like to run a business. You know, people just don't know.
Yeah, we didn't feel that either.
And
like,
so
we didn't feel
we
it.
We thought, you know, it was just like, blowing up, success, you guys are awesome. It's doing great. And, you know, I mean, like, that's what it felt like and it looked like. And
I have this picture. You guys used it for a while.
Probably.
Of my husband and my kids on
the
curb.
Dude.
Eating ice cream.
Pungo Shopping Center, man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was...
And that was the very beginning.
That was a cool moment. That was, I honestly don't even remember the time. I know that we were in Euclid making our own ice cream at that point. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'd gotten to 17th Street yet. I don't.
You hadn't.
No,
gotten to 17th Street and you hadn't started selling out of Euclid yet because we were also at your grand opening for Euclid.
You're right. Mm-hmm. So this was part of the grind, right? And that was a moment for me. That was a moment of major confidence building, you know, and I'll touch on this success question. Like, when we said we were going to Pungo Shopping Center, which first off, for friends listening to this who are, like, from Virginia Beach, if you're from South Virginia Beach, like, you remember Handles. You just do, okay? Mm-hmm. You remember Handles, and you know that when Handles closed, it was a little bit of a gut punch. It was like, wait
a
minute.
It was a lot of a gut punch.
Like, this was something super cool that we had, you know, for whatever reason, it's not here anymore. Like, as I'm hearing people's stories and going to all these events for Lollies, clearly whatever was going on with Handles was something that we wanted to offer because it was so much more than just an ice cream experience. It was like, oh, we rode our bikes there with friends and like, oh, we'd see so-and-so who we hadn't seen forever. And we just, it was like they were just going instinctively. Uh-huh. Like, because it was like, it was so much more about community. And so we knew that there was a felt need and that was missing. So yeah, you know, one of the crazy, stupid, good, fun ideas along the way was, all right, well, let's go to the Handles community out in South Virginia Beach, Red Mill, Pungo, Strawbridge, and Sandbridge, and let's just, like, I don't know, let's do a pop-up tent, whatever. Like, if these people miss this and we can, like, fill a need, let's go do that, even if it means a tent in the parking lot with freaking ice cream and coolers, right?
That's, like, that's what it was.
Yeah. Let's go see. And so when I posted on Facebook that we were doing that, quite honestly, that post might have more shares than any post that Lollies has had ever, even now, with thousands of more followers because of the felt need in the community, it was like, whoa. And then I said, first 100 people get ice cream for free or whatever. We're setting up the tent and there's like a line of 80 people in Pungo Square Shopping Center. We're still to this day, like if you live in Little Neck, you're like, what? You know, like the shopping center right past Bee and the Biscuit. There's something past Bee and the Biscuit. Yes! Like, now there's Pungo Boys Barbecue. There's like the Pungo Grill out there. Y'all need to go. Rep Pungo. Support them. Love you, Pungo. But yeah, as we're setting up the tent, there's a line. And it was as we're like getting ready to open and sell ice cream, I step back and I look at the line. And a friend of mine took a picture and sent it to me and was like, holy crap. Now people are like lining up for what mm-hmm. we're offering to the world. That was a confidence builder. That was like success for me is providing meaning to other human beings and seeing people line up for what you're putting out to the world. That's success. Like, and that's what that moment showed me. There was a lot of like other moments leading up to that, but that moment was like people are willing to wait and line up. Right? I knew that lines were going to be in the rest of our company's history, mm-hmm. but it was that line that was like, oh crap, this is real. Like mm-hmm. people want this. And so it was that moment and being a part of that tent and selling ice cream from that tent at Pungo, that I knew the shop was coming. I knew it would be there at some point because of that moment. And we just needed to find the opportunity to get to that, which was wild, as y'all heard. But I think, you know, if you ask me if I think I'm successful, I would say yes, based on my definition of, like, for me, success is providing like meaning and adding value to people. And that's what we've been able to do time and time again, and that's what we want to continue to do. Yeah, like we've shaped and my role has shifted and what that looks like, but that's what success for us is and will continue to be. I mean, our mission statement as a company is to share joy with the world through our products and people. And mm-hmm. so if we're doing that in whatever way we're doing that, as imperfect as it is, that's what success looks like for us.
I remember that was the first day that I had Cookie Monster.
Oh, man. That might have been one of the first times that we had Cookie Batches, Monster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That specific flavor of ice cream. I'm not allowed to go to Vibe in your open and not come home with it for my family. Like, there are rules in our house.
Yeah.
You were in Vibe and you didn't bring home Cookie Monster? I'm so sorry,
what's
Chris.
Going on?
It was my husband. My husband is the one who has made that rule.
Yeah.
And I think it is cool that you've, like, created this community of... There's an expectation in my house that I go to Vibe and I pick up lollies. It's not pick up ice cream. It's you got to pick mm-hmm. up... Mm. Lollies.
Mm-hmm. So cool.
And then there's a difference in that, right? Like, I could go pick up a...
Whatever.
Whatever place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's not what they want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They'd eat it, but it's not the same.
So cool.
Yeah.
So then what now? Like, I know you've opened a second location.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Since... The Vibe.
Yeah.
Also been to that location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I've been to both locations in the same day. There is a Lollies stop.
That's magical. Yeah.
So magical.
Even, you know, mid-pandemic, you know, when it's like the pre-pack.
Dude.
Things.
Thank you,
guys.
You
get one scoop of that.
So
you go to the
humbling,
next place
y'all.
And get the other scoop of that.
So
and
humbling.
I think, and you were talking about earlier, your want... for a local ice cream shop
yeah.
and your nostalgia with having it in college. And the thing that I think is the coolest about Lollies and what you've done is that there were so many of us that also thought that. Like, I would drive to Richmond. I would drive to Cape Charles, to get ice cream because we didn't have it. And I knew that. I knew we didn't have ice cream, but I didn't open an ice cream store. You know, like, I didn't open the shop. And I think the thing that's cool is that you saw it and did it. And, like, we're determined to make it work no matter what, you know? And you knew the community wanted it. And I think that's just the coolest thing.
Well, I think it's cool knowing what you did before, too.
Mm.
Yeah. Right? Like, all the things that you've done in pre the life of Lollies led you to...
Mm-hmm.
giving us an ice cream spot.
So thank you.
It's always been about young people, friends. Like, I don't know. I felt I had an experience in college where my eyes were open to the world in a new way, and I saw that, like, the previous way that I was living was so focused on myself. And God opened me up to, like, making my life about making other people's lives better. And that set me on a new trajectory to where my passion ever since has always been finding the Joeys who want a similar, just like enlightening to become the best version of who they were made to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I was a teacher. I was a youth pastor. Like, Lollies naturally, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to be the face of this thing and I'm going to go for it. But I never wanted it to be about me. It was always who I brought with. And naturally, I'm always going to go after the 18-year-old, 22-year-old, 24-year-old who's just like looking to make the world a better place too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is now, like, you ask the what next. For me, that's the what next. The what next is, I feel like people are like walking around with these pilot lights and they're waiting for somebody to just kind of come over and turn them up and like to make that flame bigger. And I want to be someone who can encourage people to like make that flame bigger, whether they're 15 or 58. Right. And so for me, the what next is more of what we've made through Lollies. And I do hope Lollies continues to grow because of the impact that it can make on our staff and on our customers as we continue to grow. And I want to leverage like what's happened with Lollies to stoke other like felt needs. So a couple just practical business things I'll share you on like what's next. I'll do it. Why not? So
I wasn't trying to put you on the spot.
No, but I'm stoked to do it on this podcast too. Like, I'll drop an exclusive on this podcast that not even the Lollies in the know people. And so if you're hearing this, like, Lollies does have two locations, but we're about to have a third, hopefully this calendar year. And Norfolk, we're coming at you.
That's so exciting.
Which is freaking...
That's so exciting.
Yeah, and we still, like, we've got some stuff to go through still in that process to prep, and we'll let you guys know in due timing. But Norfolk, y'all have been on our heart this whole time. We love Virginia Beach, and Lollies has started here. But we also, like, Jacqueline and I are bridge builders. We have such a fervor and a passion for Hampton Roads, for Virginia Beach and Norfolk equally, which we know is, like, kind of unique, and so we want our brand to cross over into Norfolk too. So we're super excited to come to Norfolk. The other thing in the know that you do know if you've been following Lollies is we're starting a donut company called Okie Dokie.
That's the thing that I thought you were going to say. I'm excited that I got to know about Norfolk, but that's what I thought you were going to say.
No, right on. Yeah, both. Yeah, so there's growth in both, which is a huge... blessing and exciting. And Okie Dokie is its own. It's fun because as a person with a marketing knack myself, like, Okie Dokie is developing its own persona. Like, it's clearly Lollies' sibling, but, like, it's going to be its own thing, which is just so fun. Okie Dokie is the, like, fun surf skate brand that was started by kids who grew up in the 90s that sells really good donuts.
That's so perfect.
And legit, like, what we want to do, this is what's so fun. I don't need to talk about Okie Dokie a ton, but, like, we So I don't know. It wasn't since I started Okie Dokie. First off, I'm doing this with my best friend. Like, this is one of my best friends in the world. This is a passion project. Me and my buddy Hunter have been wanting to do this for a little while, and he started businesses. I started Lollies, and so this is us coming together on a fun joint venture. But, like, as I've been making donuts, like, I don't know. First time you taste a Krispy Kreme, and the first time that you see, every time you go, like if you go to the Krispy Kreme at Town Center, if you're walking in, how do you not look at the glaze fountain? Like,
right.
How do you not? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what it's made me realize is donuts are epic.
It's true.
Like, you're frying dough, and you're putting absurdly delicious, like, liquid sugar on it. Mm-hmm. That's freaking something to celebrate. And so we're going to take a donut that's just super simple. We're not going to overcomplicate it. We're not going to have a million options. Like, we're going to make a really, really epic donut, and we're going to showcase that.
Yeah.
And so, we're going to leverage the Lollies community to help us, like, launch that. But again, these are going to be siblings. We want them to grow in the way that they're supposed to grow.
Mm-hmm.
We want to continue to, like, provide value to people and to create, like, an experience, because what we're trying to do is we're just trying to make people's lives better here in Virginia Beach. And again, there are some places that make donuts. There's some places that make great donuts. But the way that we want to do it is something that we feel like isn't around, and so we're stoked to just be able to offer that to the community. So
I'm really, really excited about donuts.
Dude. You should be. That's the thing. We all should be. Like, we can't eat them every day, but, like, I don't know, man. It's going to be one of those things that I'll tell you on the front end, and I don't have an answer for this. What we're most nervous about is keeping up with demand.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because once people, like, know,
dude,
they're not going to come get one donut. Dude. They're going to pick up a dozen donuts for their friends, and so you have to be prepared to sell dozens of donuts at a time versus a scoop of ice cream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's Lollies putting our stamp on this thing.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Like, it's Lollies mm-hmm. being like, hey, we think we got something else that we really want people to experience. Like, this is, because hear me say, like, this isn't just, oh, let's make a lot of money from donuts. No, this is like, hey, we've wanted to do this thing. This thing's going to be really awesome. If I'm putting, like, Lollies credibility behind it, it better be legit.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's awesome about that is that we get to say to the Lollies community, here we go. Come check this out. This is going to be fun. What we're terrified of is they're going to try it and be like, oh, crap, that is really good. we're going to tell all our friends, please do that. Like, we'll figure out those challenges as mm-hmm. they come. But it's a completely different mindset now of, like, it's not as much, is this possible? We think it's really possible. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, how do we put our best foot forward as we launch?
Mm-hmm.
Which is wild to be thinking like that, so.
Isn't it crazy that a couple years ago you were at the Euclid Road location wondering if you could do it another 2 years, and now you're talking about opening a third location and starting a donut company?
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, for anybody who's listening who's just, like, unsure, gosh, that's freaking human. It's so mm-hmm. human to be unsure, to have doubt. What I think has spurred me on, I mean, of course, like, the people whose, like, lives have been made better as a result of it, and they tell you, like, that's just encouragement after encouragement. It's like fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But also just, I don't know, man. I can remember vividly to when Jacqueline and I were having those conversations about opening in the Vibe District, and there was that doubt, and there was that fear. But both of us came back to, like, but if we don't do this, like, we'll never know.
Right.
That was the same exact process that we had in Norfolk. We have been looking at Norfolk since the beginning of Lolly's. And finally, there was an opportunity that was like, here we go. It's one of those, if we don't do this, mm-hmm. we won't know. And so, yeah, I would just hope to be an encouragement to people that, like, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to, I don't know, you don't have to know all the things. You don't have to be this superstar entrepreneur. Like, you can just go for it and see. And even if it doesn't turn out the way you were expecting to, like, I don't know. Even if all that we ever had was Euclid Road, I still wouldn't have ever changed it. Because of all the people that we've been able to interact with and because of what it's done for our lives, throughout the whole journey. So,
what's been your favorite part?
Man, I can't just list one favorite part. I mean, two that come to mind. One is like, the people who have wanted to jump on board with Lolly's, not just the customers, but the staff now. Like, mm-hmm. my team now, man, my core team, especially Sarah and Diego, who make the magical ice cream happen, and their teams. Nicole and Peyton and Sam and Josh, everybody else who makes the shops run. Like, I'm working with people who, man, like, took a chance on me in a dream, but freaking love it and are running with it and quite honestly are doing it even better than I could. That experience of having that happen and having people believe in you and having people, like, want to make your dream even more of a reality, and then it's not even your dream, but it's our dream. Gosh, that's unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life, and, like, so grateful for that. And then the other thing that I go back to is the other favorite part is just what it's meant for my family, what it's done for me and Jacqueline. This has always been, like, our thing. Again, I say Jacqueline's, like, the secret weapon because you don't see her in the way that you, like, see me sometimes in stories. Or if you scroll way back in social media, you'll see me a bunch. Before I realized all people really wanted pictures of was ice cream and sweet. Like, cool. That's actually a lot easier to just take a picture of ice cream. But, like, how it's brought Jacqueline and I closer, like, Lolly's would not be, the logo wouldn't be what it is, which communicates so much about who we are as a brand. The shop wouldn't be what it is. The product would not be what it is without, like, her and what we've been able to do together. And so what that has meant for us has just been super cool. Like, I feel like, I don't know, like, when you're married or you're with someone, like, you want to feel like a team, and you want to feel like you're not just two separate entities coming together every once in a while, but it's like Captain Planet. Like, you're all taking on the world together by our powers combined. And I feel like what it's done for us, again, I just, I don't know. I don't even have words for it, honestly. It's just been really cool. And it's really set us on a cool, fun, chaotic trajectory that we're grateful for.
I'm super stoked about all of it. All right, last thing. Yeah. I think, unless you've got something. If you could tell yourself the day you decided you started your business one thing, as you today, what would you tell yourself? What is, like, the thing you wish you knew then?
Bring other people in to this dream as soon as possible. Like, view yourself as the captain of a ship with a crew that needs to make it happen, not a torchbearer who needs to carry the weight of the whole thing yourself. That was a great, like, lesson to learn, but it was also very burdensome, and it put a lot of strain on me and all those around me. The sooner you can bring people in, the better. What's hard is, like, our natural desire is to want to control. But man, it is so freeing to not, to just like steer, right? I'd honestly never even thought of that illustration before.
It's a very well put.
But it really does feel like now I feel like the captain of a ship. And we all port together and we're all going through storms together. But I'm not, like, it wouldn't even be possible for me to steer the ship solo. And I don't view it at all as a solo thing. I think early on I did, and I can see how that is just wearing, and you can become weary. And I see other entrepreneurs listen, and I'm not saying don't grind, because, like, when push comes to shove, the captain still has to make really tough decisions. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for sure, we've been able to impact significantly more people because it's we. It's not just me. So that's what I would tell myself. And I had a lot of people saying that to me. Mm-hmm. I can't say I didn't know that. But I would, like, try and catch myself in the eyes in a moment and be like, look, like, I know this feels like a risk. You have no idea the dividends that it will pay in the long run.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I think that's been really cool, because I feel like that's been sort of the theme through everyone mm-hmm. you've talked to.
It's
and, like,
awesome.
Through all of our businesses and stuff, is that it's, you know, that there are people. Like, there are more people. We're like a whole community, and I think for the most part, all people want is to, like, you know, help other people succeed also. And
so much.
I think it's such a hard business lesson for everyone to learn, as you can and should very much rely on other people, and there are other people around if you find them.
Right, that want to be part of it.
Right, that
want
to
help
it.
Build
mm-hmm.
it and want to, you know.
And the last thought on that, too, is, like, some people want to start something. Like, mm-hmm. some people have that inclination to start. I feel like in a fire, I am the kindling, or even the freaking newspaper that you first light on fire, but I am not a log that's going to burn a long time. And for a company to last, you need that. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's some people listening to this who are supposed to start, and I think there's other people who are supposed to build. Like, that's the thing, is some people aren't supposed to start. They're supposed to build. And honestly, like, my team, Lolly's would not be where it is right now without my team of people who want to build and to build a stronger. And it's not like they're less of an important role. Like, there's people who see an opportunity and someone who has started something but could make that thing so much better and stronger, dude, go do that. Like, you'll freaking love it. And that person who you're doing that with, oh my gosh, they're like, I don't know. What I want to do is I want them to feel how much I truly care and love them. And I want to celebrate them and reward them. And I think that a good manager, a good starter, a good owner, like, just wants to do that. So, yeah.
Well, you become the person, like, if you, like, continue that analogy, you become the person that then lights their fire. If you're if you're the start,
yeah,
you're what allows it to build.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're what allows people to come in and get them excited.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really cool. It's really cool because you can see it in your employees when, like, you go there. You
mm-hmm.
can see it
mm-hmm.
on social media.
Uh-huh.
That's real, y'all.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's real.
Mm-hmm. I went there. a couple weeks ago, and I mean, they're just as friendly as can be. Like, it's not even, it's not
and
even
excited
a second
and helpful.
Thought.
And that, you know, a direct representation of you. It's like they're all little mini Joeys.
I don't know that I need that, but like,
But they get it.
Personality-wise, I love it.
Yeah, they get it. Like, they get the original mission, and they live it out in the ways that are right for wherever they are in the company, and I think there's a lot to be said for that.
That's so cool.
So I guess I think they think the perfect way to end this podcast. Where can people buy lollies?
Right on. Right now, you can find us in the Vibe District. We're a block before 17th Street Surf Shop, 414 Virginia Beach Boulevard. You can get it from our Lowman's Plaza location, two doors down from Subway at Lowman's Plaza. You can hop on our website if you want to order a cake, or if you really want to get a flavor, you're a diehard, we have pre-orders at lollies.online. But yeah, follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You'll see all the things about Okie Dokie and our new coming soon Norfolk location.
Thanks for sharing that with us too.
Yeah, like, right on. Now you can put a teaser out there.
I know. Joey's gonna announce something. You don't even know what it is. This was perfect. Thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with us today.
Y'all are the best.
Thanks.